Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. And the way that Paul studied the Old Testament, and he get insight, and I pray that you help us to understand what he has written, and help us to remember it, and so that we can walk in step with the Holy Spirit and be blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray that you not only fill your servant with the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, also fill your children and who are called by you, and bless them too, and open our eyes that we can see wonderful things that's written in the law and also in the gospel, and help us to be able to hear and receive it and accept it, and more importantly, walk in step with it, not by our own means, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we be blessed by you all the days of our life, and through us, we can bless others too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I would like to go through it slowly and see why Paul is saying what he's saying. And different people, when they read the Bible, they have different interpretation. But there's only one interpretation that is correct, and that's the biblical interpretation. And Paul have asked four questions, starting in chapter 10 all the way to chapter 11. Question number one, chapter 10, verse 18. But I ask, did they not hear? Did the Israelites not hear the gospel in verse 16, the good news? And Paul said that not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Accepted, right beside accepted good news, that means believe in the good news. Pastor John said, how do you know that accepted means believe? Because in the Old Testament teaching, in Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12, accept means believe. If you don't believe, you won't accept it. The reason why you accept it, because you believe in it. Yet to all who receive means accept. Receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. People don't accept your message. Don't accept you, that means they don't believe in you. Or they don't receive you, that means they don't believe in you. Okay? And Paul say that not all Israelites believe the good news. Even though it's a good news, not all Israelites believe. And Paul say that, they don't believe because they haven't heard. Because the Bible clearly stated that. Verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If people hasn't heard the word of Christ, people hasn't heard the good news, then how can they believe? How can they accept? So then Paul asked the question. The first question in verse 18. But I ask, you write that number one. Paul asked, did the Israelites not hear the good news? But the answer is, they have heard the good news. So what have you learned? If you have never heard the good news, you won't believe in the good news. That makes sense. But if you heard the good news, you still have a choice to believe and not to believe. Am I right? And the Israelites choose not to believe. There are numerous reasons why they choose not to believe. The first reason is because the leader, they don't believe. They teach the Israelites not to believe. Okay? So if you are the leader, you better watch out. Because when God disciplines, he's going to discipline the leader first. If you as a father, you don't believe, very likely your children are not going to believe too. Okay? Because like father, like son. Children always follow their parents. So the leader don't believe, the parents don't believe, how can the children believe? And then, there are more false prophets than true prophet. The false prophet, they do not believe, and they preach the false gospel, so the Israelites choose to believe in them. Question number one. Did the Israelites hear the good news? Answer is, they heard of that. Why? In verse 18, their voice has gone out into all the earth. Their words has gone out to the end of the world. Not only the Israelite has heard it, even the Gentile has heard it now. The whole world has heard Jesus is the Christ. Whether you believe in it or not, it's a different story. You say, well, I believe Jesus is the Christ, because I hear a lot of people swear to Jesus, say, Jesus, Jesus, right? Right? Have you ever heard of that? When they using a swear word, they don't realize that. Calling Jesus is the Christ. If you call it, and because you move by the Holy Spirit, then you will be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. But some people, they don't believe in it, so they're using that word that saved their life as a curse word. Okay? So, I want you to write that down in verse 18. Not only the Israelite has heard the good news, even the Gentile has heard the good news. Otherwise, why would they swear this kind of swear word, right? Okay? Because the Bible says the good news has gone out into all the earth. Not only the Jewish people has heard that, even the Gentile has heard of that. Their word, the word of Christ, has gone to the end of the world. That's question number one. And with the good answer. Question number two, again, Paul asked, does Israel not understand? Okay, if you hear something you don't understand, it's very difficult for you to believe. Because, I don't know that Jesus is the Lord. I don't know that Jesus is the Christ. If I don't know that, because Paul said that in a second, because Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, this is a mystery. It's a hidden truth, you know. If it's a mystery, if it's not made known to me, if God did not reveal it to me, how can I know? Well, that I can understand that too. So, but the Israelite has heard of that, just that they don't believe in it. Okay? And same as the Gentile. We Chinese has heard of that. Jesus is the Christ. Because they don't realize it. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, believing that Jesus is the Lord, and you have eternal life. Because you follow the command of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, A. What's God's command to all of us? Whether you're a Gentile or the Jew, is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You call Jesus is the Christ, Jesus the Son of God, you got it. It's very easy, you know. So I thank God for moving a fisherman. Like John, you know, he wasn't educated, and yet he spelled the truth so clearly, you know. So everybody can hear, whether you hear the good news, you believe it, whether you hear the good news, you understand. Okay, if it's a mystery and nobody revealed to you, then you won't understand. But the Jewish people and the Gentile people, they understood. They know Jesus is the Christ. They understand that, but they choose not to believe in it. They choose not to respond to it. They don't respond to it, and God will discipline them if they are chosen by God. And how did Paul answer that this Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. Who are not a nation, that means we Gentiles are not the nation of Israel. And yet, we understand. We choose to believe, okay? When I believe in Jesus Christ, I didn't even read the Old Testament. I don't even know there's a Bible has Old Testament and New Testament. But I just choose to believe in it, you know? I don't know. Very likely that the Lord had chosen, same as the Lord had chosen you. Did you study the Old Testament teaching before you believe? No, you don't. Did you study the New Testament teaching before you believe? No, you don't. You know, you just If people share the gospel to you, you just choose to believe in it, you know? So that's why God say God make the Gentile. God helped the Gentile to believe in Jesus the Christ, and through that make the Israelite, make the Jewish people envy. So God say, I will make you envy by those who are not a nation, by Chinese, by American. I will make the Israelite angry by a nation that has no understanding. We have no understanding, and yet we believe in it, okay? And then in verse 20, Isaiah boldly said, in the scripture, in the Old Testament, he didn't say that, but this is the Paul interpretation. He said, Isaiah, that prophet, when he tell the good news to us, he tell the good news boldly. Why is boldly? Because those people who hear that will kill him. And yet he still say that. What did he say? He said, God was found by those who did not seek me. That is me. That is you. God was found by us. We did not seek him. Someone come to my house and preach the gospel to us. And I reveal myself to those who did not ask of me. I didn't even ask anything. Say, oh, God, could you send someone to come to my house and preach the good news to me? No, we don't ask for that. And yet somehow God revealed himself to us. You do me a favor, right beside reveal, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. That's God's revelation. It's not because we are smart. No, we are not smart, okay? We don't even read the Old Testament. We don't even read the New Testament, but we choose to believe. After we believe, then we read it. Oh, now we understand, okay? The reason why Paul said that, Isaiah the prophet boldly say that, because when he say that, people are going to reject him, okay? And yet he still tell the truth. In conclusion, in chapter 10, verse 21, but concerning Israel, God said, all day long I held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people, that is, Israelite. The more God called them, the more they run away. Okay? Now, chapter 11. This is the third question I asked them. You write down. This reward, right on number 3. That's the third question he asked. But this one I would pause a little bit. So think it through. Don't just accept it without understanding it now. Paul asked, did God reject his people? Then Paul answered boldly. He said, by no means. He said, by no means. God did not reject his people. Even his people reject God. Now I'm going to stop here. Did he talk like a false prophet? Or is he telling us the truth? Why I'm saying what I'm saying? Could you do me a favor? Do you remember I mentioned it numerous times? There are two prophets of the same time. One is Hosea. Hosea is the prophet of Israel, the northern kingdom. At the same time, Isaiah is the prophet of the southern kingdom. They all say similar things. Well, take a look at Isaiah first. Could you do me a favor? We're going to check to see whether Paul saying things that try to please us, or is he trying to say things that try to save us, okay? In chapter 1 of Isaiah, we know that the Israelites reject God. I don't read the whole thing. I just read chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Hear, O heaven, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I rear children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me, said the Lord. The ox knows his master, the donkey, his owner's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. So clearly we say that if the Israelite refuse to listen to God, they reject God, they rebel against God. What's the end result? If they rebel God, They reject God. Take a look. Chapter 2, verse 6. You have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, that you is the Lord. The Lord has abandoned his people, the house of Jacob. They are full of superstition from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and clap hands with pagans. Their land is full of silver and gold. There's no end to their treasure. Their land is full of horses. There's no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work their finger has made. So man will be brought low and mankind humbled. And God says, I do not forgive them. From chapter 1, I know that Israelites abandon God's teaching. You abandon God, you reject God, and later on God say, I do not forgive you, I abandon you. Go to chapter 3. Okay, before chapter 3, the last verse, chapter 2, verse 22. God say, stop trusting in man who has but the breath in his nostril. Of what account is he? I found out that in chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3, the Israelites believe in everything except God. They believe in man, they trust in man. In chapter 2, they trust in silver and gold. In chapter 2, verse 7, they trust in horses and chariots so that they can win the war. In chapter 2, verse 8, they trust in idols. They don't trust in a living God. They trust in all kinds of things, but they don't trust God. That means they reject God, but did God reject them? The answer is yes. How come Paul say that? Paul say no. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 22. They put their trust in man. God say, no use to trust in man. He just have a breath. If I take away his breath, he will die. He will pass away. Don't put your trust in. Remember what King David say? Don't put your trust in man, not even in princes. If they pass away, they can plan all they like. The moment they pass away, all their plan come to nothing. On top of that, chapter 3, verse 1, what do they put their trust in? They trust in supplies of food. Chapter 3, verse 1. Supplies of water. They put their trust in what? Hero and warrior. They put their trust in judge and prophet, soothsayer and elder, the captain of 50 and man of rank. They put their trust in counselor, skilled craftsman, and clever and charming. And yet, they don't put their trust in God. They don't put their trust in God. Take a look at all the wealthy lady, you know, verse 16. You know what the wealthy lady, beautiful lady put their trust in? Put their trust in their hair, you know. You know how much people spend on their hair? Do you spend any money on your hair, Sally? So how do you spend money on your hair? Get a hairdresser to make you look beautiful, right? Cut it, right? You want me to cut it for you? No charge. They say no. Most ladies say no. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You can do anything, but not my hair. Huh? As a matter of fact, whether I cut it or not cut it, make no difference. You know what I mean? But if it make a lot of difference, if it make a lot of difference, you will say no. You know what? I don't want to spend the time in chapter 3 of Isaiah. Chapter 3 of Isaiah, they are haughty ladies, they are so proud. Why? Because the husband is so rich and make them rich. You know, starting in verse 18 all the way to 23, all these things make this girl, make this woman look so beautiful. God says, because you have this kind of stuff, make you look beautiful, make you look haughty and proud, I take away that. You think your hair is beautiful? And God say, you know what? He's going to give you stench instead of fragrance. He's going to give you what? In verse 17, he give you sore on the head. When you get sore on your head, you know what's the end result? You have to shave it. Because hair with sore, you're going to grow more sore. Because infection. You have to shave it. When you shave it, you're no more beautiful. Brother and sister, I don't care how beautiful you are, how rich you are, how wealthy you are, how healthy you are, how powerful you are. If you put your trust in all these kind of things except God, God say, I'm going to take it away. Some people say, my husband is rich, so I put my trust in my husband. If you put your trust in your husband, verse 25, chapter 3, God say, your man will fall by the sword, your warrior will fall in battle. I take away your husband. Then by that time, in chapter 4, verse 1, in that day, 7 women will take hold of one man and say, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name and take away our disgrace. Because in the nation of Israel, they rebel against God, and God led the enemy to destroy this nation, kill the young man, and the woman end up has no husband. 7 women grab hold of one man. He say, I want to be your wife. And another one say, I want to be your second wife. And then third one say, I want to be a third one. And then 7 ones say, hey, don't worry, Daddy. I know you don't have money either, but we work for ourselves. We provide our own clothing, and we earn money for the boy food. We even support you. Just allow me to be your wife so that I want to bear child. I know a lot of Chinese, they don't read Old Testament. They don't know that, how God deal with the people of Israel. If this is the way God deal with the people of Israel, because they don't put their trust in God, they put their trust in all other things other than God. God say, I take away all this that you treasure, that make you feel proud, make you feel happy. I take away all this until you turn around. When they turn around, when do they turn around? Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 is the key answer. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, who will be called holy, they used to be called wicked, now they will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in the Jerusalem, verse 4, and the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion, and he will cleanse the bloodstain. He will cleanse the bloodstain from Jerusalem, circle the word, by a spirit, that's a capital letter, by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. When I explain chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 now, I want you to write it down in your Bible. I don't want you to make a fool of yourself when people ask you the question. I know your friend may not ask you because your friend may not study, but your children will study the Bible. When he studies the Bible, he asks you questions. If you cannot answer, you're going to make a fool of yourself. Do you remember what Jesus said throughout the 4 Gospels? The Bible say, John the Baptist come to baptize you with what? With what? With water. And then the one who come after me will baptize you with what? The Bible say, with the spirit and also with what? With fire. A wise man say, I prefer to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't want God to baptize me with fire. I want to circle the word fire. Let's say if you get a clump of clay with it, it's iron ore, it's gold core of with you know there's a nut of gold in it. But how can I get the pure gold? The craftsman will put it in a furnace of clay and burn it with fire. And then I'll come with what? Silver and gold, right? Has to go through fire. And then that gold is pure gold. In the same way, human being, same way. If you're not cleansed by the Holy Spirit, eventually you will be cleansed by what? By fire. And that's how God uses spirit of judgment and spirit of fire or spirit of righteousness to cleanse his people. I don't want it to be like that. Am I right? I want to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. That's how we respond. Okay? I don't think the Chinese understand that. They say, spirit of fire. What was that? But if you listen to the Old New Testament, then you understand. All of a sudden, you understand. Why they need to be burned with fire? Because they believe all things other than the true God. They trust in all things other than the God who blessed them. When God say, I take away all this, then you know who bless you. Okay. Now, based upon the first four chapters, based upon the first four chapters of the book of Isaiah, I know that when the Israelites reject God, did God reject them? Did God reject them? God did not reject them. Chapter 2. I can't hear you. I'm old now. You know, when you speak to me, you speak louder. I'm asking you, did God reject them? Chapter 2, verse 9. If God accept you, God will forgive you, right? If God do not accept you, God say, I do not forgive you. And I don't know. Joyce did not ask of me. Last week, Joyce write me the email at the office, say, wow, what's your preaching in the coming Sunday? I write, how do we respond to God's discipline? And when I just give the title, you know how to pick the song. I know this girl, even though one of these days if I pass away, I know this girl. If she walk away from God, when God disciplined her, she'll be saved because she knows the answer. She quoted Psalm 32. Blessed are those who transgression are forgiven. We are all sinners. We all sin against God, right? One way or the other. But if your sins are forgiven, you are blessed. And she know how to be forgiven. In chapter 32, verse 5, I confess my sins. If I confess my sin, the Lord will forgive all my sin and cleanse all my unrighteousness. Unfortunately, the Israelites do not confess it until the spirit of fire and spirit of righteousness come upon them when they suffer so much. Then, they used to be called wicked people. Later on, they be called holy people. Through what? Through discipline. Through severe discipline. Without discipline, they don't turn to God. When they don't turn to God, God say, I do not forgive you. Am I right? So, in other words, if I reject God, God naturally will reject me until I turn around and say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, could you forgive me? Bam. Then my sins are forgiven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes when you read chapter 2, verse 9, say, oh, it's not forgiven. Then you don't read chapter 4. You used to be called what? Rebellious, obstinate people. And yet in chapter 4, you are called holy people. Right? If you're called holy people, that means what? All your sin has been what? Forgiven. But after what? After severe discipline. Does it make sense? Don't just listen to the preacher saying. You study it yourself. Okay, now I study the first four chapters of Hosea in just 5-10 minutes, right? I go and take a look at another preacher, right, of the same time, Hosea. We talk about that. I don't know whether you remember the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is after Daniel. You know where's Daniel, okay? So, take a look at Hosea. Hosea also, you have to read, when you read the Hosea, you have to read the first three chapters so that you see the big picture. If you don't see, if you just read the first chapter, second chapter, then you won't be able to see the whole thing. If you read the first three chapters of the book of Hosea, same thing. The only difference between the book of Isaiah and the book of Hosea is different like that. Book of Hosea talk about husband and wife. Ah, husband, of course, Hosea, wife is his adulterous wife, okay? But Hosea represents God. The adulterous wife represents Gomer, represents what? The people of Israel. So the book of Isaiah talk about father and son relationship. A father speaking to his son, rear his son, give blessing to his son, and yet his son rebel against the father, right? Remember that, Hosea chapter 1? Remember Isaiah chapter 1, right? Father and son relationship. But Hosea is husband and wife relationship. In other words, our Heavenly Father can be called our father, or our Heavenly Father is called our husband. So in the same way, you know, God says to Hosea, marry this adulterous wife and raise these children of unfaithfulness. And then name them by name. And this beautiful adulterous woman walk away from Hosea. And she has numerous lovers. And she thought all the blessing is from her lover. And then God take away the blessing. You see how God saved her? In verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, take a look at verse 5 first. The adulterous woman say, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen and my oil and my drink. Therefore, the Lord say, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. And she will chase after her lover but not catch them. She will look for them and not find them. When she faced difficulty, then she will say. She will say, that means she would repent and turn around. I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. When this adulterous woman faced difficulty, she come back to her husband. Just like Israelite faced difficulty. Israelite faced what kind of... I want you to write beside chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7, I want you to write down Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea, chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. They used to be called wicked, rebellious, obstinate, and now they were called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion, and he will cleanse the bloodstain from Jerusalem by his spirit of judgment and his spirit of fire. This spirit of judgment, this spirit of fire is just like in verse 6, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. make her feel pain and suffering, then she will turn around. You know what? Eventually, this beautiful adulterous woman come back to Hosea. Okay? In verse 3. Now, remember the first question I asked? When the people of Israel reject God, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 9. Did God reject them? Did God reject them? Yes. But in chapter 4, did God reject them? No. But in between 2 and 4, go through what? A lot of pain and suffering. So brother and sister, when you look at the Bible, read the Bible, don't just read it, check it out, so that you find the truth. Once you find the truth, that belongs to you. Do I make myself clear? So, now I buy the Paul teaching. Go back, chapter 11, verse 1. Paul asked the third question. Did God reject his people? Paul said, by no means. By no means. No way. No way God will reject his people. I want you to write that down. If God did not reject his people, then you write down Psalm 30, verse 5. God only rejects his people for a very, very short period of time. That's why God said, for his anger lasts only what? A moment. But his favor lasts a what? A lifetime. When he disciplines you, you may weep. Weeping may remain for a night, a very short period of time. But rejoicing comes in the what? In the morning. That makes sense. If I don't explain to you, say, wow, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about, you know? Clearly, God rejected that. Because you worship idol, right? You know what? If you worship idol and God still accept you without disciplining you, you know what's the end result? You write that. 1 Samuel chapter 28. King Saul will go to hell. Don't do that. Don't follow King Saul, right? We are not King Saul. We are King David's descendant. We follow after David. When David committed adultery, did he get disciplined? He got disciplined. He dare not do it anymore. Okay? But King Saul never get disciplined. He chased after King David and tried to kill King David, right? And no one disciplined him. In the end, he go to hell. You know what? You just read the New Testament without going back to the Old Testament. I don't think you understand the New Testament. I don't think so. You read it, you check him out to see whether he tried to please me or say something that soothsayer, or he's telling the truth. I found out he's telling the truth. Because he looked at the big picture. He don't look at a short period of time. He looked at the end result. Everybody say? Amen. Now I want to teach brother and sister a lesson. If God, this is the way how God deal with the Israelite, do you think, will God deal with the Gentile differently? I mean Gentile believer. Or will God deal with us the same way? If God did not deal with us in the same way, we don't need to read the Bible. Am I right? So God will deal with us the same way. All right? Now, take a look. I still have 7 minutes to see how do I deal with the third question. Did God reject his people? Paul said, by no means. And then he said, which number one? Because I am Israelite myself too. Look at me. I reject God. Do you remember? Do you remember, starting from chapter 6, all the way to chapter 8, including chapter 9, a portion of chapter 9, 6 to 9, how Saul opposed
the Christian.
And God did not deal with them until chapter 9. When God dealt with him, Gene, could you tell me how did God deal with Saul and turn him around to become Paul? Cause him to be blind. When he was blind, then what did he do? He keep on killing people? Or he say, Paul say, he say, okay, wow, I got to stop now. He said, what's going on? I thought I'm serving God. I thought I love God. I persecute the so-called sect, Yidun. They believe in cult. They not believe in the truth. I try to eliminate them, persecute them. Lord, I'm serving you because I did it according to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And lo and behold, now I become blind myself. And the one that I persecute is see that he's the Lord. What is going on, right? He spent 3 days and three nights to meditate his whole life. What caused him to go wrong? And he found out he misunderstood God's word. And he turned around and become poor. Did God send the spirit of fire and spirit of judgment on the life of Saul? Yes or no? But did God reject Paul? No, he did not reject Paul. Later on, because his life was changed from Saul to become Paul. But this Saul is different from the 1 Samuel chapter 28. This Saul never changed. One is changed. Brother and sister, the difference is 1 Samuel 28, King Saul never changed, even though go through a spirit of fire and judgment. Whereas the Pharisee Saul, life was changed to become Paul. After going through a spirit of judgment and spirit of fire. Does it make sense? He's using his own personal experience, say that God did not reject me. I am Israelite, I oppose Jesus, and yet I am still Abraham's descendant. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Lo and behold, I want you to remember, King Saul also is the tribe of Benjamin too. Don't tell me you are King Saul also thinking that he is the descendant of Abraham too, okay? I think this is not a joking situation, okay? Because Paul's life was changed. He was changed by the Holy Spirit, by the spirit of fire and spirit of judgment. He think it through, right? So that's why he say, I'm a descendant of Abraham, and I am a tribe of Benjamin. And yet, I'm greatly used by God to write 13 books of the New Testament. So that's why I can say, God did not reject his people. But I don't want to rush into it. He did not reject his people. I want to circle the three words. This is the key word for us to understand the whole Bible. Whom God foreknew. Whom God foreknew. God indeed will reject his people if God say, I don't know you. Because you don't even know me. I want you to write that down. Right beside for knew me, you write down Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, all the way to 23. Jesus said, not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. But only those who do the will of the Father who sent me. And then in those days, in the judgment time, a lot of people come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you because I preach your word. I do miracle. And Jesus say, I don't know you. If Jesus say, I don't know you, that means you don't even know Jesus. Man. Then he reject you. I read that to you one more time, not just by my memory. Let's hear what God say. Not everyone who say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Anyone who does the will of his Father, that means he's the one who know God, who know Jesus. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? A lot of false prophets, they prophesy in Jesus' name. And in your name drive out demons, like Judah, one of the apostles. He drive out demons in chapter 10 of Matthew, chapter 10. And perform many miracles. Judah performed many miracles, save a lot of people, and yet he himself go to hell. Because he did not know Jesus. Brother and sister, circle the word. You know what? I only give you one example. Now time is up. This first example is God did not reject his people as long as he knows you. As long as you know him. You don't know him, then he say, I don't know you. Oh, I'm sorry. He rejected you. Same as, I want to stop here. Go back to the King Saul. In chapter 28, the Bible clearly stated that when King Saul faced the difficult situation, he prayed to God. He asked the prophet to help when he's going to fight the battle next day with the Philistine. Will he win the war? And God did not answer him. You know what? God did not answer him. He said, you don't answer me? I'm going to ask the evil spirit. I don't need to ask you. And that guy never knew God. Some people were disciplined. The Lord did not answer his prayer. And he keep going. He keep going his way. The end result is that. When God put thorn bushes in front of the adulterous woman, the adulterous woman turned around and repented. When God put hardship in Apostle Saul, and his life was turned around to become Paul. When put hardship to King Saul, he never changed. There's a way, how do we respond? How do we respond? It's up to you. Our Heavenly Father, I heard your word. Every time when I open my mouth, you put word into my mouth. Your precious word, so that your children understand, because your sheep recognize your voice. And help us to be obedient, not to turn away from you. And help us to understand your will. Whom you foreknew, you never reject them. But Jesus said to them, I don't know you. Lord, help us to know you and know you better. That's exactly how Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.